with Sister Mary Rock, formerly known as Sister Joel. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Ann.
My sojourn here in Bethany Hospital gives me an opportunity to reminisce with you of days gone by when we were young and energetic and in active ministry. Mary, I generally ask the sister interviewee to tell me something of her early years before she became a member of the congregation. Would you like to start there?
Well, I will begin with my earliest recollections. I was grew up in Jamaica Plain. My parents were both born in Ireland. They were very devout people, both with wonderful sense of humor. And I had a very happy childhood.
What are some of your pleasant memories?
I have three very early recollections.
Fine.
One, I was on a Sunday picnic with my father and my two of my brothers, and we were at Castle Island, and the storm came. There was no boat to take us back, and my father had to carry me. I probably was a little over two, the distance to City Point where we got the streetcar. And it was thunder and lightning and pouring rain. I recall being on his shoulder and he pointing to a light in the sky, and he said, "Mary, that's my prayer entering heaven. We're not going to get wet." And we didn't. The rain only stopped when we had to get off the streetcar and walk up the street to home.
What a recollection at such an early age.
And my father told me, to make it worse, I fell asleep on the streetcar, and we lived on a hill, and so I was a heavyweight coming home, but we didn't get wet.
You mentioned your two brothers. What did your family consist of, Mary?
We were three boys and three girls.
Is that right?
Yes. But I had a younger sister and an older sister who died in infancy.
Both of them died?
Both of them died in infancy. One was about a week old, and one, I think, was 3 days.
That was a very hard
It was very hard, very hard for my mother. And my mother was a medical miracle, because almost 80 years ago, she had her first child, my oldest brother, and all of us were Caesarean.
Is that right?
And that 6 Caesarean births in
those days
was a miracle.
I should say. And so who are your brothers?
My brothers are John, the youngest, Teddy Thaddeus, the second oldest, and Joseph, the oldest. Another recollection as a very small child was Armistice Day. I recall being in a crowd and so short that I was standing on the ground and all I saw were legs around me.
You were like Zacchaeus in the gospel.
And suddenly somebody lifted me up, I don't know who, might have been my father, on his shoulders, and I saw all the excitement and the flag waving.
How old were you now for that?
Well, I was born in 1913. Mm-hmm. And that was what?
Yeah, you were almost five then.
Almost five.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Those are my earliest recollections. Another one is that whenever my mother wanted us to do something she thought we might resist doing, she always prefaced it, "Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, I want you to do it solely for the love of God." So it became a password in our house, almost a joke. We tease her. But that, and I went to school at St. Thomas's.
I was going to ask you about your education.
And those were happy days. I remember when I was in the eighth grade, we had a friend who had a sister in the order, and she dressed me up as a nun, took my picture, and gave it to my mother. And I was having a hard time in the eighth grade at the time, so when I saw the picture, I took it and very dramatically tore it up and put it in the kitchen stove. My mother was horrified. She thought it was a sacrilege, I guess.
Who were some of the teachers through those years that influenced you for woe or for weal?
For weal or for woe. Well, the sisters I remember very fondly. My second grade, Sister Agnes Teresa.
Yeah.
My fourth grade teacher, Sister St. Mildred. She was very young, I think, probably just beginning when I loved her. Those are the two that made the most impression on me. It was interesting. We had a priest at St. Thomas's who had a holy hour on Friday evenings, and that was very devotional to the Sacred Heart, and I think that influenced me too in my vocation.
I can say the same thing. I think that was a parish devotion throughout the diocese.
Yes.
In those days.
And it really was. It brought the Lord very close to you and personal. And another, my brothers were all altar boys, and we had three masses at midnight, and we had, my mother was very much loved as a hostess. And on midnight, we began our Christmas celebration after midnight mass. And that was, the boys would be serving the midnight mass upstairs. Well, some priests would be saying their other two masses downstairs after that. And the entire Rock family must go downstairs and attend the other two masses, while our relatives and friends waited at home on Jamaica Street while the Rocks prayed extra. But it didn't matter. They were there, and we... But that was a rule.
That's a happy recollection.
It is a very happy recollection.
Of Christmas.
And I know Christmas night, my mother never went to bed at all. And then in the morning, it would be children in the neighborhood coming in, and she wanted to be there for them. It was
a beautiful,
beautiful
recollection.
My father insisted that we do our homework and study, and every Friday night we had spelling bees at home.
Wonderful.
And he would coin words, probably put three or four words together to catch us sometimes. Then my oldest brother went to BC High, and we would go in to all his debates.
Oh.
And to the plays they had, and his teachers were one of them particularly. Both my brothers had asthma.
Is that right?
And they suffered a lot from it. And one day, one of his a scholastic called my mother. He had been out for a couple of weeks, asking about him and saying he'd like to come out and tutor him Greek if he wanted. And my mother was quite thrilled to have a Jesuit visit. So we adopted him as our uncle from then on.
What was his name?
Father Gus Keene.
Oh.
Augustine Keene.
Right.
Yeah. Then he became dean later. But he was a part of the family, and he would give us all kinds of riddles on Sunday, which he'd take to class. challenge the nuns, and
sure.
Yeah. Can God make a stone so heavy that he can't lift it? Things like that. I was the May Queen in... A sister who really influenced me very much was Sister Alexis. Sister Alexis was principal of St. Thomas's. And I loved her dearly, and I loved her visits to the classroom. And it was always a challenge. And she'd write on the board, too many to fail. But I would dust her office every morning during religion. And it was a delight for me to find her at the novitiate as my teacher when I entered.
She was really one of the best and a lifesaver for us.
I used to visit her often after that, you know, mm-hmm. when I was on a mission.
Yes.
So it was in my eighth grade that I was May Queen. And because all the other May Queens had long hair, Sister Alexis decided they should get a wig for me. I can remember being in the convent trying on a blonde wig and a brunette wig. And they said, nobody's going to know you. Oh, I said, they'll all know me because I have my mother's eyes. But I wore the brunette wig, and it was, my head was filled with hairpins, and you walk all over the parish
to make a play.
In the procession. So it was more like the way of the cross for me.
I would say she was ahead of her time dealing in wigs.
Well, yes.
Did you continue your education at St. Thomas's? We've talked about your eighth grade work.
No. The St. Thomas was building a new high school at the time.
Oh, yes.
And it would not be ready for another year. And my mother thought that I probably should wait a year and go to St. Thomas's because she couldn't afford to send me to the Mount. I'd have to go to a public school. But Father Flynn told her by no means, she was not to keep me back a year. So I registered at Girls High School in Boston.
A very fine high school in
excellent.
Those days.
In those days it had an excellent college prep course, and you met, it was a wonderful experience meeting all types of girls, and there was no segregation or racism. It was a tremendous experience. It had a strange effect on me. When I graduated from grammar school, I had no desire to be a sister. But I was only 2 months in the public school when I saw a terrific difference between the work of the public school teachers and the work of the sisters. The sisters gave much more of themselves. And it was then that the seed, in that contrast, that the seed of vocation
really?
Began.
The Lord has his own ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when at the end of my junior year, Boston was celebrating its tercentenary in 1930. So the summer of 29, or spring of 29, one of the newspapers, I think it was the Traveler, the Boston Traveler, had an essay contest for high school students on why Massachusetts is the best state in the Union. And I won it. I was the girl in the Traveler who won it. And the prize was a trip all around Massachusetts for a week.
Oh.
With a chaperone or $1,000. Now, this was during Depression. And the woman, you may have heard of her, Agnes Carr, she wrote poetry often for For the
paper.
Globe, too.
For
see,
the paper.
After that.
Yes, I remember.
And she called and told my mother she wanted to see her and talk with her, and my mother said she couldn't afford to subscribe to any more journals or newspapers. However, in their conversation, she told her she had gone to Notre Dame Academy and explained to my mother that she would be with me on the trip, and then told her that, of course, I didn't have to take the trip. She could take the $1,000. And my mother said, no, Mary will have the trip.
Really?
And that touched me very, very much because I knew how hard times were in 1930.
The height of depression.
But she said, I want you to see the Berkshires. My mother had used to spend summers there. And I want you to see all these places, and you'll never be able to do it otherwise. So we went by bus, and a boy from Brookline, Dr. Harvey Cushing's son, won for the boys. And then we stopped at various cities where other newspapers had this essay contest, and they picked them up, but many took the money.
Is that right?
Yeah, so there were only probably 6 or 8 of us in this large blue bus, but we met many important people. We first went to the governor, and then we met President Coolidge, who had retired at
right.
the time,
mm-hmm.
and in his home in Northampton.
Right.
We toured the state. We had a wonderful time.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I'm curious, what were some of the reasons you gave in your essay for Massachusetts the most important state?
It was strange. Now, it was my father who was reading the paper. I can visualize it. He said to my mother, now, I want Mary to try this. And Mary was to try for this essay contest. So Saturday morning, I was excused from my chores of housework. So I went to the library.
Very good.
And took the Encyclopedia Britannica and read all about Massachusetts. And then I used the litany style, you know? Our litanies,
yes.
like the litany to the
yes.
Blessed Virgin, you give her a title.
Uh-huh.
Well, all the things I had read, I decided I would give Massachusetts titles.
Oh, and, a unique idea.
And then it took in many of the important aspects
of the state.
Of the state.
Uh-huh.
And that was exciting. We did not go away summers, and I was at my 16th birthday. My mother decided that she was going to get me a job during the summer. She didn't want me out on the street.
Exactly.
And thought the best. So she got me a job in what is now University Hospital.
Is that right?
It was then Massachusetts Memorial Hospital, and a friend of hers was working there. So I worked there 2 summers, my junior and my senior year in the hospital. In the outpatient department, you bring records to the different doctor's offices then, or you showed patients where to go. And I can remember one mother saying to me, she had a little boy with her, and she said, "You don't look any older than my 11-year-old son." But then at graduation, I was we took the teacher's college exams. The day we took those exams, a group of us went together from Girls High, and we were in a large auditorium, and the proctor was an elderly man named Joel Hathaway. And he walked up and down those aisles, say, "Go home, Boston needs you, doesn't need any more teachers, you're wasting your time, go home."
Is that right?
And he really distracted us from the exam.
Oh, my.
We had autograph books, and one of the girls in my class wrote in my autograph book, "Don't forget old Joel, what a man, what a name." And I never saw her later to tell her how prophetic she was that I got the name. But I was accepted at Teachers College. But again, times were extremely hard. I also took the exam for the Boston, the civil service exam for the Boston Public Library, and did get a good job there after my graduation.
Wonderful.
And I decided that my financial support was really needed very much at home, and I didn't go to Teachers College, but they told me they would hold my place there for 2 years.
Really?
Yes. I thought that was good.
I do. Mm.
But I stayed working in the Boston Public Library for 4 years. That was a wonderful experience. I began and in the South End branch of the Boston Public Library on Brookline Street.
Yes, I know.
And it was right next door to, I think, St. Clement's house that we had.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I don't think it was St. Clement's house then in 1930, I'm not sure. But during that depression, I would some mornings, it was my turn to open up at 8:30.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
There would be a line of men all down Brookline Street, Washington Street, Chaumette Avenue, waiting to come in because they had slept out in Blackstone Park all night.
Coming in out of the cold.
And they'd come in out of the cold and fill the large library, put their heads down, and go to sleep.
You weren't afraid.
I wasn't the least bit afraid. And it was interesting. During those 4 years, most of my work was in children's rooms. I worked with a children's librarian.
And all this prepared you for your real ministry.
It's extremely strange how much I can remember. I also, from there, I went to Jamaica Plain branch.
Oh.
And from there, I went to Memorial High School. They had a large library there, which was a combined public library and school, public high school library.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can remember at once, there was a family, a little boy used to come in all the time, and we became great friends, so he wanted me to meet his family. Well, I didn't realize he was going into the first grade. And he'd bring the three or four younger children, and the baby would be in the wastebasket when I'd get in there. Well, one day, the school truant officer came to the library and asked for me.
Oh.
It's this boy was cutting school all the time.
Because he liked you in the
coming
library.
Coming to the library. twice in the library I had encounters with the police. This little boy, when they asked him what my name was, he couldn't remember, so he always called me Miss Brick. But later in the Medford Public Library, two boys were having a fight in the children's room, and I said, oh, we don't fight in here. If you're going to fight, go out on the street. And they took me literally, and they went right outside and had a fist fight in front of the library, and the police went to break it up, and they said, oh no, Sister Rock told us to. So the police came in and wanted to know who Sister Rock was and not to be telling the boys
encouraging
to
them to fight.
Fights on the street. However, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, well,
back to my
your last year maybe as a librarian outside.
Well, my vocation is involved. When I graduated from high school, I told my mother I wanted to be a nun, and she said, you are too young. You need a little more experience, and you need to mature. I'd love to see you a nun, but you're not ready. And so at 18, I asked her again, and she said, no, you're not ready yet. I'll let you go at 19. So at 19,
you didn't want to
I
go.
Did not want to go at all.
Isn't that the perversity of human
yes.
nature?
And it probably was a remark made by a priest to me who said to me once, why aren't you in the convent? And I, just the fact that he said that made me realize maybe I could make it, you know.
Oh, wonderful.
I think that maybe people outside are waiting for that
An
little
invitation.
Word, and that encouraged them to say, well, probably I could. The Lord stepped in, and I was about to choose married life. And I can, he's very definitely one night told me I was to belong entirely to him, and there was no question.
What an experience.
It was. I have never been more aware
of the Lord's presence.
It was his voice.
Yeah.
And he wasn't sweet and lovely. He was very, very firm.
Is that right?
And there was to be no, because this is the way it's going to be, because I want it this way. And I never had a question about my vocation from then on. And
that's a grace.
That was, I was probably 20 then.
Mm-hmm.
My experience in the library was very, in the public library, was very interesting. I used to go at night. My first course beyond high school was at Harvard. I went nights to Harvard and studied contemporary civilization. I was a culture vulture at 17. Contemporary civilization, voice culture, journalism, how to write mystery stories for live
Is
boys.
It so? How did you get interested in Harvard?
Well, during the terrible depression, the colleges offered education at night to people because nobody had money to go
right.
to college.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did all your assignments, you would get the credits. I didn't do my assignments. See, I did it to...
just the pleasure of it all.
For the pleasure of it all. So the only course I got any credits in was voice culture because there were no assignments. But I can remember Sister Justin saying, well... And then I went to Boston University nights and had a marvelous program in French.
Oh.
And Professor Geddes, have you ever heard of
no,
him?
I haven't.
We used his text. He was the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I didn't get credit because I just wanted to enjoy it. Those I put on my record but they couldn't understand at Brighton why I'd be going to school at nights for 4 years and have no no credit to show for it. They said, at Regis, we give you a degree. But my oldest brother became a Jesuit. He went to Boston College and graduated in 1932. And again, his vocation was extraordinary because at the end of high school he wanted the Jesuits, and the doctor would not pass him. He said, you couldn't live the Jesuit life
oh.
in New England with the asthma you have.
Oh.
After college he met the same fate and was accepted for St. John's Seminary. However, my mother realized that his heart was not in it. And she had great devotion to St. Francis of Assisi. Once a year, there's a Feast of Porciuncula. The Franciscans open their grounds, and every visit to that little chapel there is a plenary indulgence. And they served meals there on the grounds. And she told us, no meal, no dinner or supper tonight at home. You come and get your supper up and pray for Joe. This was like
And where was this located?
It's still there in Brookline.
Oh, yes.
The Franciscan,
the Franciscan
Friary.
Friary, yes.
It's still there.
Up the hill.
Up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, and when we came home, a call came from my brother Joe from Father Corrigan at BC, and he said, there's a priest from California here who wants to see him. So Joe was working at Woods Hole in the Marine Biological Lab. That he worked all summer, every year. And they went down, and within 3 days, my brother was leaving for California to become a Jesuit in California.
Wonderful. Now, did this visit to the friary have an influence on your vocation, too?
That took a while. You know, that was only 32. I entered 34.
Oh, I see.
You know.
So now what happened in the interim?
But I wanted to
years?
Tell you that after my brother Joe died in 55, when I went out there, the city of San Francisco, where he did most of his priestly work, is totally dedicated to St. Francis of Assisi, and everybody has a shrine to St. Francis of Assisi.
Is that right?
And it brought it back to me very strongly that it was St. Francis who took care of the
him.
Jesuit, you
right.
know, made him a Jesuit.
Right.
However, that's a digression, isn't it? My other brother, my second oldest brother, Teddy, was the pious one. He was very holy. And he had many problems. He was sick. As a boy, he was in an accident coasting and did severe injury to his spine, which in those days they did what they could, but it wasn't enough.
I see.
And he lived until he was 24. My mother died in 19, the year after I entered.
Oh.
I entered in 19-